Great each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here and to look into the Word of God and to be reminded again of how needy we are and how much life throws at us and it can be so hard to sort out sometimes. I'd like to look at Bible study this morning for a topic. Why study the Bible? How to study the Bible, some of those things. That's what I'd like to look at this morning for a while. And I'll try to, I have a number of points to make, and if you take notes and follow along, I'll try not to make it take too long, keep things moving. If you get sleepy because of this warm morning, start writing things down, and maybe it'll help you out. Why do we study the Bible? When's the last time you studied the Bible? Well, you probably, if you were awake this morning, or at least came in time for Sunday school, you studied it this morning. How often do you study the Bible? Those are things I want you to think about this morning. And what is it doing for me? What has it done for me today? How has it cleansed me? Or how has it made me guilty? Think about these things. I have a number of points on why do we study the Bible? Why is this a topic we should look at? Psalm chapter 1, reading the first three verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree, that's what it goes on to talk about. But we study because God pronounces a blessing on those who study. God will bless you if you study his words. And God blesses the man who makes good choices. The fruit of study is good choices. Good Bible study is good choices. And God blesses that person. Why else do we study the Bible? Number two, in the Great Commission, Jesus said that you go out and teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Go and teach everything that I have commanded. How do we know what's commanded? We study because Jesus commanded us to study. Many of the words of Jesus have been recorded, and we can know what God wants from our lives today if we study. Number three, we study because it is how we find the approval of God. And there's just a number of familiar verses I want to give, but 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. We want to be approved before God. How do we find God's approval? If you haven't studied, how can you know if you're getting God's approval or not? How do you know what it is? Let's study the Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does he call the person who's studying here? He calls him a workman. Study can be work. Study can be hard work. What does the Bible say? How has the translations changed it? How has people changed the English language over time? Does it still mean the same? We compare verses with verses and find truth. God reveals himself to those who put effort into finding him. Number four, we study because the word corrects us. It corrects us. We are individuals who were born in sin, with an evil nature, we're bent on sin, and as we bump into the Word of God, it corrects us. It changes us through opportunity. 2 Timothy 3:16. I want to give you time to turn to some of these because if you haven't underlined some of these verses in your Bible yet, you probably should. And that's under my practical points of Bible study is that, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but you need to mark your Bibles up. There's nothing wrong with that. It's actually a good thing. Helps you remember, helps you find things. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So God gave us the scripture to straighten us out, for reproof, for correction, to help us know how to be right, righteous, and holy before Him. Turn back a couple pages into Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says here that the Word of God is alive. It doesn't use that word in the English language, but the Word of God is quick. It means it's alive, it's moving, it's living, it's doing something. Verse 12, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. It talks about this Word being alive, and this Word looking into our lives, looking at us. This Word knowing what's in our hearts. And He says there's no creature that God doesn't see, know what's inside of them. We study because the Word corrects us. Number 5. We study because the Bible is the voice of God to man. Turn over to, well, before I mention that passage, we remember in John 1, where He talks about the Word. And we know that the Word there is talking about Jesus. So Jesus Himself and the Word of God, they use those words interchangeable. Those names interchangeable in that passage. And we know that the way that we know what Jesus is saying to us today is reading the words that He left behind. Also, in Galatians chapter 3, I found an interesting verse here. Turning the wrong way. Galatians. And verse 7. Verse 6, we'll start there. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. He says here that the Scripture preached to Abraham. Well, the Scriptures weren't even written down. I found that to be an interesting verse. How could the Scripture preach to Abraham? What voice, what did Abraham hear? Well, Abraham heard the voice of God. That's what he heard. And here, the writer of Galatians is saying that whether it was God speaking or whether it's the Scripture speaking to us, it's the same thing. Same thing. Sometimes today we say, well, I wish God would just tell me. You know, could I only hear God speaking? Well, you can hear God speaking. It's right here. We're holding it in our hands. The Scripture is the voice of God today to us. I didn't write the reference down here, but I wrote the verses down. For number 6, we study because we need to be wise. Because there are those who will wrest the Scriptures. W-R-E-S-T, rest. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood. I guess this is from Peter. Which they which are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures under their own destruction. He says here that there are people that are going to take the Bible and they're going to wrest it, as in wrestle. It's where we also get the word wrestle from. Same thought. They're going to take it and they're going to twist it. They're going to work with it until the Bible says what they want it to say, and they're going to tell you that's the way it is. There are going to be people that are going to teach you that divorce and remarriage is okay. That alternative lifestyles, they're okay. That you don't have to live the way of the cross. You just have to believe, and that's it. You can live how you want. These are people that are wresting the Scriptures. They're twisting it. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So they'll take these things and they twist it, and we read their books, we listen to their podcasts, their devotionals, and we don't think about it, and they're influencing our thinking. Let's be careful. If that's what you're doing in the morning for your personal devotions, listening to someone's podcast, I want to challenge you on that. It needs to be more than that. Study the Bible yourself. Read the Bible yourself. They could be wresting the scriptures and causing you to fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Number 7, we study because in the last time, deceptions will increase. Deceptions increase, but the student of the word will be delivered. 2 Timothy 3:13. Verse 13 to 15. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Is it worse today than it was 100 years ago? According to this verse, it is. Certainly, the spread of evil is as easy as ever with modern technology. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It says here, these evil men are getting worse and worse, but you don't have to worry about it, because you know the scriptures, and you know who has taught you the scriptures, and you know that these scriptures can make you wise to the point that your own soul is saved. So another reason that we study the scriptures is, even though evil men are getting worse, the Bible study will guard us against deception. Number 8, we study because we believe that determining the meaning of Scripture is one of the most important tasks of the believer. What you believe in, what you study, what you know, that's what defines you as a believer, as you study, as you learn. It changes you. It makes you. It's how you grow. I'm going to read you the NIV version of Hebrews 5, verse 13 and 14. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature. And this is the part, the reason I read this version. Who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Who by constant use have trained themselves. You can read it in the King James in Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. We need to learn to dig into the Word of God for ourselves and not depend solely on the instruction of others. And we do enjoy what other people think about a verse. That's why we get into these discussions. But let's not just rely on what somebody else said. If you try to just say what other people say, you forget. If you learn it yourself, you remember. That's one thing I've learned. I try to just remember how other people explain the passage and don't make it my own and try to repeat what they said. It's harder than when you dig in yourself. I like to look at a couple thoughts on approaching Bible study. How should we come to study the Bible? Jesus emphasized that attitudes and motives are just as important as the action. So let's look at some of these things. Number 1, begin with prayer. Pray about it. Ask God to open your understanding of the Word. God will open it to you, but we should ask Him. It says, if you ask, you will receive. So pray. Hey, Lord, I don't understand what's here. Or I'd like to understand. Please make it alive to me. And He will. He'll make it alive to you. Many people go to book signings. They want to meet the author. And they want to ask him about an experience or some thought that they read about in the book. They want to get his signature. You have the same opportunity with the Word of God. You can go to God anytime and say, tell me the answer to what I'm reading here. Let's go to John chapter 16. I'd like to read a number of verses here. So we talked about God being the author of truth. Talked about, you know, the Bible being God's word to man. The Bible being the words of Jesus. The revelation of Jesus to us. Those thoughts. Just taking it a little bit farther. Thinking about the Holy Spirit's work in this. Chapter 16 and verse 7. We'll read down to verse 15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. These are the words of Jesus, saying, I need to leave because someone is coming. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. This is the Holy Spirit speaking in our hearts. And of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said, I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And here these verses are bringing out the importance of the Holy Spirit working in our heart and in our life through Bible study, through helping us understand, through enlarging our, I think a lot of what he's talking about here is application. The Holy Spirit works in our life and helps us to apply these things to our everyday experience. It says he will guide you into all truth. So we need to invite him. Point number two was invite the Holy Spirit to Bible study. Don't study by yourself. Study and listen to what he is speaking through the pages. Number three, when we approach Bible study, we need to approach it with respect and reverence and thanksgiving. Remembering what it is and how it has been preserved for mankind. 2 Timothy 3 says it was given by inspiration. Given by inspiration, if you looked it up in the Strong's, it means it was divinely breathed into. These pages were divinely breathed into. God did that for us. And we are a privileged people to be able to hold it in our hands. We have many Bibles, many commentaries, many versions of the Bible, many preachers, many speakers on it, on the Word. Many people do not have that. And we begin to value it less and less because we have so much of it. Let's remember to open its pages with reverence and respect. 2,000 years, and it's still here. Number four, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Cultivate desire for it. If you're interested in something, you tend to think about it, talk about it, stop when you see it, go check it out. Engage in conversations when you hear of other people talking about it. And this is how it is with the Word of God. Hunger and thirst after it. What makes you hungry? Work makes you hungry. When you exercise yourself in the Word, you get hungrier. So I'm encouraging you this morning, if you want to cultivate a desire for Bible study, make it a point to engage in spiritual conversations with people. Witness. Talk about it. And it you get some questions you can't really answer. It makes you go back and dig into the Word. Cultivate a desire for it. Number five, be humble. Be teachable. Look for answers. Not so much looking for verses that support my thoughts. That can be a temptation. Especially when you're studying for a topic or something, and it's right to do, look for words, but look for verses on a topic. But sometimes we specifically look for verses that support my thought at the expense of other verses. So be humble and be willing to look for answers when you open the Word. There's many people that, agnostics even, that know the Word of God very thoroughly, and it hasn't done anything for them because they don't want it to do anything for them. They want to know it so they can somehow refute it, not that they want it to change their lives. Number 6, be open-minded. Ask questions like, what does it say and what does it mean? And how should I apply it to my life? And take enough of time to give God the answers to show us what He has in it. Very similar to the thought before of being humble. But this is a step farther in being willing to think outside the box. That's how people change, become more spiritual. That's why applications are sometimes dropped and other ones are picked up, because people are asking that question. Are we still applying this the way we should? Number 7, perseverance. Persevere in Bible study. Bible study can be hard work. Many times you get into a subject, you get excited about it, and you can hardly set it aside. But then there's other times when you start to study and you get lots of distractions, and it's hard to do it, and it's hard to keep at it. Other things that demand our time and attention. It's good sometimes to have somebody else on for Wednesday evenings. Make them responsible to study. It's good to have assignments to study. I liked what Jeremiah said. He says in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." It says, I found the words, and I ate them. Too often, when I look into the word, it's more like snacking than it is eating. But he says here that he was eating it. It's not just a quickly skimming over a passage that I need to get through one here before I run out the door. It's about taking the time to say, what does it say to me? Number 8 in approaching Bible study is just keeping it all in perspective. Remembering that the book was written by 66 writers over a period of several thousand years. A lot happened in this book, and you have to take the Old Testament with the New Testament to understand the Old Testament. If you just find one verse in the Old Testament, you can stumble at it sometimes. But you have to understand God's plan with mankind through the Old Testament, showing them their sin, preserving a seed for the Redeemer to come through, and then how it changed in the New Testament. Now, for a few minutes, I'd like to look at some of the different studies, how to study the Bible, some of the different methods for studying the Bible. And first of all, I have is simply reading it. Reading it. Read the Word of God. Read it regularly. Read it from cover to cover. Have you read the Bible the whole way through yet, from beginning to end? If you haven't, you need to. I've never read it in chronological order, but I'd like to. Something else we can do. But there's Bible reading plans. There's apps on electronic devices. It's never be easier to keep track of where you're at than it is now. Read the Bible. Saturate yourself in the Word. So much easier to do Bible study when you know it. When one verse reminds you of another verse, and you go looking at that verse, and you think of another individual, another experience. The more you read the Bible, the more you saturate yourself with it, the easier Bible study becomes. Because you are familiar with it. It's kind of like learning a skill, riding a bike. Do you ever forget? The more you do it, the better you get at it. At first, you're a little shaky, but after a while, you do well. Number 2, daily devotions. Don't skip your daily devotions. Use it as a time of study. That's where the appetite comes from sometimes. where you read it, you only have a few verses, but something catches your eye, and you start thinking about that, and then you go back. So a daily reading of the Word is a great way to study the Bible, because it makes us hungry for more. Another method, number three, is chapter and verse studies. Reading individual chapters, individual verses. This is probably more what I do. Look at it. Look closely at the text. Look at the context, what all's going on. It lends meaning to the verses, individual verses. Keeps us from resting the scriptures. Sometimes it's good when you're doing this to compare different translations. Or to look up in a Bible dictionary, maybe, you know, some culture. I believe that's one of my points here later on. To look at some of the different authors of Bible study booklets. What do they say about these verses? Remembering that they're not the Bible, but somebody else that has done some study and wrote it down. Try writing your own translation of the verse. Read it in the King James. Read it in another version if you want to. And write your own, paraphrase it in your own words. Helps us to think through it. Helps us to apply it. Whether you're doing a book study or a chapter study, ask yourself lots of questions. Who are the people? Who did it? What did they do? What is it saying? What is happening? What is being talked about? Where did this take place? When did this happen? When can it happen? Why did it happen? Ask lots of questions and then start finding answers in the passage about all those questions. Are there any commands here? Any contrast between, like Proverbs, lots of contrast between two ways of life, between two things? Are there things that are being repeated and repeated? And there in John 16 that I just read, you know, he repeated himself. I'm going away. I'm going away. I'm going away. It lends some meaning to it. Is there a problem and a solution? So if you need to study for a topic, sometimes you look at a problem and you look at, you know, what all is a part of this problem. And then you look at the solution. What all is a part of this solution? Are there any promises here? Are there any connections to other parts of the Bible? Sometimes the New Testament references verses in the Old Testament. Go back and read what the Old Testament said and what was surrounding that prophecy. Just a number of pointers. Another way to study the Word is to do a book study. Look, you know, who was the book written about? Why was it written about and what was happening? Make an outline of the book. Mark the passage that God uses to teach you something. They make Bibles with very, very narrow margins, very small. You can't do too much with them. They also make Bibles with wide margins and plenty of room to write. And I encourage you to buy a Bible like that. When you go to buy your next Bible, don't buy a little one that you can fit in your purse. They have a place too. Buy one that gives you room to make notes. That when someone's preaching, you can write it down and even put a date with it. Who said it and when they said it. One of the things I've done with my Bible study is when I came across things that I knew people had asked me questions about, I wrote the references in the back and what it was about. That way if I'm ever out witnessing or somewhere and someone asks me a question, can't think of the verse, got a place that I can go to and read. Find some of the blank pages in the beginning or the end of your Bible. Fill them up. Fill them up with quotes. Another way to study the Bible, number five, is to pick a person. Anybody want to guess how many names are mentioned in the Bible? If you include the genealogies, there's almost 3,000 different people mentioned. A lot of those people we don't know much about. But there are many people you know a lot about. And you look at their life. Who was their parents? When were they born? What all went into their childhood years? What kind of choices did they make in their youth, in their middle age, in their old age? How did they relate to their children? And you can learn a lot about an individual, things that I can apply to my life. You know, you look at the fruit of it, what happened. Another way to study the Bible, which is probably my favorite, is the topic study. Pick a topic and say, let's go see, what does the Bible say about this topic? Maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's prayer, maybe it's personal purity or trust or something. Pick a topic that's interesting to you and go find all the verses that you can find on it. It helps us to organize and understand what the Bible says about a specific topic. And that's where concordances, topical Bibles, are really good. You can use, if you never learned how to look up the Greek or the Hebrew words with a Strong's Concordance, you should do that. How to find, because for one Greek word and one Hebrew word, they didn't always translate it the same, with the same word in English. But you can go read other verses. You can go find where all else that same Greek word was translated in English and read the other verses that have that word, even though it might not be the same English word. It was the same Greek word, and it gives more meaning to the thought in another verse. If we had time, I would show it to you. Be careful with topic studies not to take verses out of their original context in order to imply a meaning. So let's be careful we don't take it to try to make a meaning that's really not there. Sometimes you find a verse and you like the way it says it. And then you read the topic and say, well, that's not really what the writer was saying. It doesn't really apply. Another way to study the Word of God is to look into Old Testament culture or customs. And studying the customs surrounding marriage or weddings, you know, and how they did all this, or you know, how the boys, when they reached age 12, what they did, you know, some of the sacrifices, the dedications that were made. You study some of those, it can bring much more meaning to the Word. Kirvin's really good about that, bringing that up in Sunday school. This is what happened in their day. Then it helps give us meaning to it. So do some culture or customs studies to help you understand the Word. Number 8, another way to study the Bible is group study. And we did that this morning in Sunday school. Sunday school is a good thing. Group studies. It's a blessing to see, you know, throughout the week or once a week. They did it for a while. I don't know if it's still going or not. We've done it different times, had a Bible study and got together a certain morning of the week. Sit with other people and multiple thoughts, multiple questions, try to understand. And the last one I have here is personal practical application. How do you study the Bible? You study the Bible by making it practical in your life. There's some verses you never really understand until you have to exercise it. You read a verse like, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, that doesn't sound right. But when you experience it, giving, you find out there is a real blessing in it. Or other verses, like even the Golden Rule. Some of those things you don't understand until you live it. What would be the purpose of, you know, non-resistance or separation or some of those other doctrines that we have? But when you begin to live it, or how to even apply it, you begin to live it out in your life, it makes more and more sense. So study the Word through trying to make it practical in your own life. Let's remember through all of this, when the Bible speaks many times on something, it's probably more important than just one verse on something. Some people can get real wound up about questions like, who was Cain's wife? It's in the Bible, you know, let's figure this out. You know, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Let's look at questions. Let's ask yourself questions that really matter. Questions that can make a difference. Those are distractions. And you'll find people that, you know, when you start discussing the Word of God, they want to discuss these things that really have no point. Are there some subjects that we haven't really studied as the Mennonite church, that we've been afraid to talk about or to make practical in our lives. We have a lot of personal, practical applications on certain things. You know, living it out in everyday life, there's some places we're really, really practical. But we don't have any requirements that you have to witness to so many people per year or in the last 6 months. Why don't we have an application like that? Questions like that I think about a lot. Maybe we should have a few more applications. Some of those things, it's hard to measure, you know, how much is okay because everybody's situation is different. How much should you eat? When is a person a glutton or when isn't he? You know, we don't have any applications on that. We let it all up to persons. Maybe some of those things we need more study on, more application on. And there's probably lots of other. Every once in a while, like the doctrine of non-accumulation that came around a few years ago. It was a thought that I think was preached through generations, but hadn't been given as much attention maybe for some time. And in our culture today, someone decided to write a little booklet about the doctrine of non-accumulation. Are there more things like that floating around? Today we are what we are because of the previous generation. You are what you are today largely because of your parents and generations prior, choices that they made. So that's one thing to think about for a while. Today we are sowing what the next generation will be. I just want you to think about that. Let's make sure that we do the Bible study that we need to give the next generation the start that they need to have. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, again, we pause before you. And we want to consecrate our lives to you. We want to offer our lives into your hand because of the sacrifice that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, again, for the work of Christ on Calvary, that he was willing to come and die to pay the price that was needed that we might be able to be perfect in your sight. Thank you, Lord, for accepting this sacrifice of Jesus' blood, that price is fully paid, that the rest of us can now come and stand before you as sinless individuals. Father, I just pray that you'd help us with our everyday life. Seem like the struggles are real, and that we struggle so much with righteousness and holiness, and how to make it practical in our everyday lives, and knowing what really matters and what doesn't. I pray, Lord, that we would not be choked out with the cares of this life, that we would not be distracted with so many things, but that we would be serious about knowing what you're asking of our lives, that we would constantly be checking this roadmap, this Bible, to make sure that we are going in the right direction. So, Lord, give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Give us a desire to understand. Pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to speak to us as we look into these pages. Pray that you'd help us to be better people and of greater inspiration to those that we meet. Go with us, Lord. Help us this afternoon in whatever you call us to. And I pray, too, a blessing on Brother Keith as he plans to share with us this evening. Give them safety as they travel here, and pray that you bless him as he prepares. Go with us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.